guys for coming out today. Oh man, 11 o'clock's a lot bigger than 9 o'clock. I was like, where's everybody at? They came to 11 o'clock. Awesome. So good to see everybody's face. I start looking around. I'm like, where's everybody at? All right. Hi. Yeah, it's good to see all the ladies whose husbands are gone. Looks like y'all made it. Some of you guys. Well, okay, we won't name names. He named names. So we're if you're new to our church, we are going through the book of Mark. So we are continuing in the book of Mark. We're getting towards the end here. We're in Mark chapter 14. Today we're going to read verses 50, 51, 52. Or it might just be 51 and 52, but it says, starting in verse 50, it says, then they all forsook him and fled. Verse 51, it says, now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young man laid hold of him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Welcome to church. In that, go in Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's just pray real quick. Father, I thank you for this word today, God, and I pray that we are good soil. I'm just messing with stuff. It's okay. I pray that we are good soil, Lord, and that we receive this word, Father God, and let it do a work in us, as Dan said, Father God, that we would bring forth fruit for your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. So I had a reputation in high school, and it followed me around for quite a few years. I was known as the party girl. So I ended up on the senior class ballot, right, as who do you vote for, the biggest partier? And lo and behold, there's my name right there. You know, and back then I was excited for that. I thought it was really cool to be known as the partier. I was the partier. No one could out-party me. You couldn't out-drink me. You couldn't out-drug me. I was the partier. And everybody knew it. Yeah. That was my reputation. You have a reputation. Yeah. Yeah. What are you known for? Yeah. So let's talk about this naked man for a minute here. Naked man. Oh, you guys stop laughing. Okay. In a room full of boys, they'd be like, ha, 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 ha. So this is the only gospel that records this man. This man followed Jesus. He was with him when he was betrayed, but yet he fled away naked. Now this is a third person narrative. A lot of scripture is a third person narrative, right? When you read the book of John, John describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. This naked man is only found here in the book of Mark. And all biblical scholars agree that this naked man is Mark. Not Mark Foster. The Apostle Mark. John Mark. The writer of the book of Mark. This is the Apostle Mark. It says that all fled from Jesus, as did Mark. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he was probably afraid. He fled away naked. In the book of Amos 2:16, it says, and he that is courageous among the mighty shall flee away naked in that day, says the Lord. Fear. Fear caused Mark to flee away naked. How many of y'all know that fear is crippling? Yes. Fear will keep you from doing what you know you were called to do. Yes. And fear is one of Satan's biggest tools. If he can keep you fleeing from spiritual things, he's already won. Yes. He's already won. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if fear is a spirit and it's not from God, then it's from the enemy. Yes. 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 That's good. It's a spirit of fear from the enemy. In 1 John 4:17-18, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, I will tell you, I struggled with fear for a huge portion of my life. A lot of you guys know my testimony. I have a past. I was sexually molested by several different people. I did drugs at age 9, and from there it got worse. So I lived in fear for a huge portion of my life. I actually have a clinical diagnosis. I saw a therapist for a while. I was clinically diagnosed with a panic disorder. An obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, to be labeled as a disorder, to be diagnosed with a disorder, it has to grossly affect your life. And believe me, that fear, panic, and anxiety grossly affected my life. It grossly affected my life. It kept me from people. It kept me from the house of God. It kept me from boldly speaking the word of God. It kept me from prophesying. It kept me from doing the things that I knew that God had asked me to do. And I had to come to terms with this. This 1 John scripture, that I had not been made perfect in God's love. He that fears has not been made perfect in God's love. If I still fear, I am not perfect in God's love. If I still fear, I'm not trusting the Lord. I didn't really trust him. The Bible says there's no fear in love. Fear and love cannot operate in the same space. They cannot habit the same space. That's what he's telling you. They can't be in the same space. And these are very strong words. These are very strong words from the Holy Spirit saying, if you are living in fear, you're not in the love of God. Whew. I had to examine myself. I had to be real with myself and say, I have not been made perfect in God's love. Help me, Lord. These are very strong words. If you live in fear and allow it to dictate your life and motivate what you can and can't do, and if you allow fear to keep you from the spiritual things of God, from his church, the fellowship of the body, from Bible study, from real communication, not Facebook. Yeah. Facebook communication, it's not real. Yeah. Facebook communication's not fellowship. Yeah. Fellowship is real. Let me pray for you. Let me tell you what's going on and pray for me. And if fear motivates you, you're not living in the love of God. You're not living in faith. We are told to have faith in God, not in what he will do for us, but in him. Amen. It's a faith in God, not in what we want him to do or how we want him to do it, but a faith in God. And so I had to rectify this in my own life. I was living according to fear. I don't anymore. Praise God. I am a living example that the power of God can overcome anything in your life. And I had to look at myself clearly and truthfully, because I was not going to live with that label the rest of my life. Amen. I hate labels. Don't label me by that. You want to label me? Label me a child of God. Amen. I'm not going by a world label. I'm not going by any kind of negative label. Right. I don't have to live that way. Right. When will you stop allowing what was done to you to be bigger than what God can do in you and through you? Because at some time you have to allow God to do it in you and make it bigger than what was done to you. Yes. Make it bigger than your past. Make it bigger than your pain.
Yes. Yes.
You have to make God bigger than that.
Yes.
And God showed me this. When I was a kid, I spent summers with my grandparents. My mom was a single mom. My mom was really messed up on drugs and alcohol. And so I would spend summers with my grandparents, and it was the safest place of my life. I remember that being the safest place of my life. I was fed. I was taken care of. And so to me, it always represents safety. And I was at my grandma's house, and my aunt was there, and my cousins were there, and my grandpa was there. And I was sitting at the table with my grandmother, and I loved to eat. I loved to chew on ice, suck on ice all the time. And so I was sucking on a piece of ice, and I was talking to my grandma, and I go, and I got the ice stuck in my throat. And so it blocked my breathing completely. And I couldn't talk. I couldn't breathe. And I was sitting there for a while, like, you know, trying to, doing this. And my grandma looks at me, and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, you know, I'm doing this. And my grandma starts freaking out. So I look at my Aunt Pam, and I was like, and my Aunt Pam's like, you know, she starts freaking out. And so I leave the kitchen, I go in the front room, and my cousins are in there. And I go to my cousins, and they start laughing at me. And I'm looking, because I'm right, by now I'm drooling from the mouth. I can't talk. My face is turning blue. And my Aunt Pam screams from the room. She's like, go drink some hot water. Okay. So I run into the kitchen, and I hit it right here, and the ice cube popped out. The sink hit me right here, and the ice cube popped out. And my grandfather had been outside, and he heard the commotion, and he came in, and he was yelling at everybody, and he said, why didn't you call me? I knew what to do. And this is what we do. God said that we run around to everybody, and we can't breathe, and we're looking for a man, we're looking for a woman, we're looking for a relationship, we're looking for somebody to help us breathe, and he's the only one that can help you breathe. There is no relationship, there's no man, there's no woman, there's nothing that can make you breathe except for the Lord. And you still can't breathe because you're not going to him. You're going to everybody else. You're going to everybody else. And if you continue to operate in fear, it will hinder your walk with God. It will hinder your walk with the Lord. Look at Revelation 21, 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Praise God. Isn't that a great verse?
Yeah.
He who overcomes, praise God. But look at verse 8. He says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their place, their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Cowardly, that's the fearful.
Yeah.
They're right there with the non-believing and the sexually immoral. Right there. The cowardly. Those that operate in fear. Because what? Because fear cripples you.
Yeah.
And it'll keep you from doing what God has asked you to do.
Yeah.
And if you fear, you don't have faith.
Yeah.
You've not been made perfect in the love of God. If you cannot even come to church when things are good, you will never stand when you come under real persecution.
Amen.
See, because to me, church is just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
It's just the icing on the cake. Now, skip ahead in the book of Acts here. We see Paul, Barnabas, and John, Mark, our trio doing missionary work together as the Holy Spirit guides them into different cities. Yet Mark leaves Paul and Barnabas to continue on their missionary journey without him. And they encounter great opposition. This is one of the times that Paul is viciously stoned and he's left for dead. And Mark escapes the troubles and he carries with him the shame of abandoning Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 15, 36 through 40, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. And now Barnabas was determined to take with him John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia, Mark, and had not gone with them to the work. Mark had deserted them on the missionary field. Then the contention became so sharp that they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. So Barnabas takes Mark and sails to Cyprus, back to the same route where Mark departed from them before. And what's interesting, the book of Acts goes silent about Barnabas and Mark after this. Nothing else is mentioned about Mark. Talks about Paul and Silas' journeys. They don't mention Mark anymore. You're going to have a reputation for something. What is it?
Yeah.
What is it? Now, and let me explain this. A reputation is a widespread belief that someone or something has a particular habit or characteristic. I'm not talking about a rumor, because a rumor is usually based in falsehood or a lie. But a reputation is based on your character. Do it once, it's an accident. Twice, starting a trend. Three times, it's a habit. And Mark's reputation in Paul's eyes was that he was a deserter. Paul thought Mark was a deserter. He said, I'm not taking him. He's a deserter. Mark operated in fear, and he was untrustworthy on the mission field. He was untrustworthy. And you have a reputation among people. Maybe even among different groups of people, because you act differently in different places. See, Paul told the Corinthian church, it is reported commonly. See, I hear commonly that there's fornication among you. They were known for their sexual immorality. That was their reputation. Reported commonly that you're doing these things. It's reported commonly. Are you a hothead? People know it. Are you kind? People know it. Are you lazy?
Yeah.
Are you a hard worker? Are you divisive? People know it.
Yeah.
Are you a peacekeeper? People know it. Because people will know you by it. Because you are known by your fruit. And, you know, I hear this all the time. People say, well, that's so judgmental of you. Don't judge. And you know what? The only people that say that are the ones that aren't living right. Because, listen. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than... And you will have a reputation among people, either for operating according about it. I'm not going to put up the scriptures, but this is about the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and him and the king of Ahab were going to war together. And King Ahab called all the false prophets, and they're like, yeah, go to battle, go to battle. And Jehoshaphat recognized immediately that this wasn't the voice of the Lord. And he said, is there not a true prophet here? Is there not a true prophet that will tell us the word of the Lord? A true prophet, a true man of God. And King Ahab, listen to this. He knew who was the true prophet of God. He said, well, there's one. His name is Micaiah, but he doesn't prophesy good against me. But he prophesies the word of God. And I'm like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with you not liking me or you saying, man, she preaches a hard word, but it's the word of God.
Yeah.
Are you going to be known for the word of God?
Yeah.
Are you going to be known for the word of God? Do you speak God's word or do you only tell people what they want to hear? Because you're going to be known for that.
Yeah.
Do you operate in love and kindness or do you operate in a controlling or cruel manner? In Luke 6:43-44, Jesus said this. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. Your fruit is your character. It's not your success. You say, oh, look at all this work I've done. That's your work. Sure. You're doing work. That might be your successes, but what's your character? You can be a hard worker and have bad fruit. You can have bad character. Now, why would Barnabas want Mark? Why would Barnabas want the deserter and Paul didn't? It's a fair question. Barnabas is Mark's uncle. Barnabas was Mark's uncle. It was his sister's son. And see, we often will overlook someone's character because of our love for them. And parents, we do this an awful lot with our children. Don't put it up here, but in 1 Samuel chapter 2, read about it. Read about Eli, the priest, and read about his sons. Read about it. Because his sons were doing nasty things in the house of God. And Eli rebuked them, but he didn't correct them. He just wanted to, he just said something to him. He didn't correct them in anything. It didn't go too well for anybody in that situation. We have to be able to look into people's character, even when we love them. And I understand we want to see the best in people, and in our kids, we want to see the best in them. And we want to look past these glaring faults. And there's a difference between judgment and discernment. We have to discern people's character. Barnabas saw his beloved nephew instead of the weakness in Mark's character. It's interesting that nothing else is recorded of them in the book of Acts. Don't take someone into battle who's not spiritually ready. Don't do it. It doesn't matter how much you love them. Can't take someone that's not spiritually ready into a battle. They're going to desert you. See, Paul was radically saved. If y'all remember Paul, he was a murderer. Paul murdered Christians. And he was hardcore for Jesus. He didn't have time for any of that. He knew what he was saved from. And I identify with Paul. I know what I was saved from. I know what I was saved from. I used my body. I prostituted myself out. I did drugs and alcohol. I did everything under the sun. I know what I was saved from. I know what I was saved from. But God saved me and he delivered me and he redeemed me, and I take the things of God with the utmost seriousness. So don't think that you're going into battle with me if I see flaws in your character. I ain't doing it. Just like Paul, he's not doing it. If you're not faithful, you're not going with me. If you operate in fear, you're not going in me. If I rarely see you in the house of God, you're not going with me. If you have a reputation for sinning, taking advantage of God's people, causing division, creating chaos wherever you go, no matter how much I love you, I'm not trusting you, and you're not doing ministry with me. And that's what Paul was saying. I love you, Mark, but you're not going with me. You're not ready to go into battle. You're full of fear. You deserted me. You're not going with me. He didn't trust him. Be able to discern people's character, especially when it comes to the things of God. You have to be able to discern people's character. Now, it's a long time after this that there's any more mention of Mark. Okay? Paul writes a letter to Timothy. Paul's in prison here for a second time. He's at the end of his life. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 11, he says, I have fought the good fight. I finished my race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not to me only, but to all who loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. And verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry.
Amen.
Get Mark, the man that fled away naked, the man that deserted me and left me for dead. Get him, because he's useful to me. There's redemption. Mark had growth in godly character. He'd been made perfect in love. There was no more fear. He was useful. He was useful to the ministry. The author of the book of Mark. I don't know how old Mark was when he first came. Probably in his 20s. And Mark was written 50 or 60 years after Christ. So you're talking about an old man in his 70s. And this is the man that fled away naked, that deserted them on the mission field. And he writes the book of Mark. And there's one word that stands out more than any. It's 42 times in the book of Mark. It says immediately. Mark says immediately, immediately. I'm no more filled with fear. Immediately. I don't operate that way anymore. Immediately. I'm going to do this immediately. I have no more reservations. Immediately. Immediately, straightway at once, he went from running from God to a no fear, I got to do it now. Immediately. And God is a right now God.
Amen.
Doesn't care about your past. He doesn't even care about your yesterday. He wants to make you useful today.
Yes.
He wants to make you useful today. God is not done with you, and he won't leave you the way you are.
Yes.
He doesn't want to leave you in your fear. He doesn't want to leave you the way you are.
Yes.
And God can change your reputation if you let him.
Yes.
During the worship, God spoke this to me, and he said, Crystal, part of your reputation now is your son. And I want to tell you about my son. He has a reputation in high school for being an inspiration. He has gotten about a dozen ribbons and awards for being the most inspirational. On every team he's been on, every group he's been in, he gets voted by his teammates as the most inspirational. And God said, Crystal, that's part of your reputation now. Part of your reputation now. God can change your reputation. Doesn't matter what people call you now, God can change it. We don't look at Mark as the naked man who fled. We look at Mark as the apostle. The apostle Mark, whose ministry was about healing and doing miracles. Immediately, Mark, that's the one that we look at now. That's the reputation that Mark has now. And he wants to make you useful to the ministry. He wants to use you if you're willing to get under the potter's hands.
Yeah.
If you're willing to get under the potter's hands. And don't count people out. See, Paul could have easily written Mark off forever.
Yeah.
Paul could have easily have written Mark off forever. He's like, man, you fled there. You left me for dead. You deserted us on the missionary field. Whew. Buddy, you're done. But Paul had the grace and mercy of the Lord. And he watched the Holy Spirit change Mark. He watched the Holy Spirit use Mark. He watched the Holy Spirit prepare Mark for ministry. And Paul, at the end of his life, he saw that Mark was useful. He said, you're useful to me. Have you been a deserter? Do you operate in fear? Do you have a bad reputation? You can still be used of the Lord. You can still be useful in the Master's hands. First of all, are you available?
Yeah, amen.
Isaiah 6:8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here I am, send me." Are you available? That's what he's asking. Are you available? You hear the call and you say, "Here I am, God." See, God didn't pick Isaiah. Isaiah heard the call.
Yeah.
And he said, "Here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, use me." Are you available? Are you emptied? Hebrews 12:1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Are you emptied? Have you cast off every weight? Are you emptied of sin? Have you emptied yourself of yourself? You got to empty yourself. Take up your cross. It means self-denial. Emptied yourself of yourself. Emptied of fear. Fear is a huge weight.
Yeah.
If you're going to run, you got to cast it off.
Yeah.
Are you cleansed? 1 John 1:9. "For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Have you repented and turned away from your sin? Or do you still live in it? You have to turn away. You have to turn away from it. Repent and turn, and he is faithful to forgive and cleanse and make us brand new and wash us whiter than snow.
Yeah.
2 Timothy 2:20 through 21 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter," so we have a part to play in this.
Yeah.
"He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." You have to allow the potter to sanctify you. You have to get under his hands. You have to cast aside the weight and the sin and the fear. You got to get it out. I want to be a vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. And lastly, are you willing? 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you available? Are you emptied? Are you cleansed? And are you willing to be useful? Angie, will you come play, please? We're going to take some time. And first of all, I just want to present an opportunity for you that if you do not know Jesus Christ, and if your sins have not been forgiven, if you haven't repented and asked him to come into your life to make you a new creation, I want to give you an opportunity today to come up here. Is there anybody that doesn't know the Lord that wants to be used of God? Because in a minute, I'm gonna ask you, if you don't feel useful, I want you to come up here. If you'll be honest with yourself and say, "I've been operating this way, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, and I don't feel useful for the master," I want you to come up here. And we're going to pray today that God remove that, and that you will be useful for the master's hands. Everybody feels useful, huh? And I'm gonna tell you, God uses me mightily, and I still don't feel useful. So I know some of y'all don't feel useful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And we make ourselves available to you, God. Empty us of ourselves. Empty us of fear, God, and empty us of sin, God, that we would be cleansed and made new and willing to be a vessel of honor for your purpose. God, we want to be used for your purpose, Father. We want to be a vessel of honor, God. A vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. And I pray for everybody here, Father, that you touch their hearts so mightily, God. You speak a word to your people today, Father. You speak directly to their heart, God. You speak directly to that thing that's hindering them today, Father. God, we just make ourselves moldable in your hands, God, that you would use us. That we want to be useful to you, Lord. We want to be useful to you, Lord. God, whoever here's had a bad reputation, Father, I pray today, God, you begin to change it. And you change the way they walk and change the way they talk and you change the way people view them. Yes. That they become to have a good name. Father, that if you can use a liar and a cheater and a murderer, God, you can use me. Amen. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, just do your work right now. Hallelujah. God, make us useful, Lord. Make us useful, Father. We are as clay in your hands. Minister the word to your people today, God. By your Spirit, by your strength, by your grace, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to me right now. Don't leave here without being changed, because the Holy Spirit is here right now. And the Lord is walking up and down this aisle and he's ministering to you and he's speaking to you. Let him do the work. Let him change your heart. Let him change you. Because what happens, you're going to go out and the devil comes immediately. Yes. And he's going to steal that seed that was sown and you're going to forget. Let this be a day when something changes in your life. Let this be the day when that weight's been lifted. When you set it off, you said, no more. I'm not operating that in fear anymore. In Jesus' name, no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit, God, to change a life. And I'm a life that's been changed. To make us brand new, God, a new creation in Christ. The old has passed and the new has come. Father, that you cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, Lord. That we can walk in perfect love and not fear. That we are useful, God. And today, I just want to say that over you. God says, you are useful to me. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you that you change our hearts and you change our reputations. Lord, we give you all praise, all glory, all honor in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Wow, that was a good word. Are you guys glad you're here this morning? Woo, me too. Amen. Now, if you came expecting to see Pastor Matt, don't worry, he'll be back next week. he'll be here. But him being in Texas afforded us this amazing opportunity to hear this word this morning. Now the challenge as you go through this week is don't forget what Lord was saying to you this morning. You know, the Bible says don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Amen. Go ahead and stand up and take hands across this place this morning. One big happy family. Don't worry, cold and flu season's over. It's good. It's all good. All right, let's pray this out. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for what you do for us each and every day, for what you did for us for our entire life, Lord God. And thank you for this morning, Lord God. Thank you for working through Pastor Crystal and delivering this word that cuts us right to the heart. Lord God, your word is so sharp as a double-edged sword that's able to cut bone from marrow, Lord God. We thank you so much for that, Lord. I pray that you work in us, Lord God. You work in with the work that you started today, Lord God, works through us this entire week, Lord. I pray we take this with us and share it with those around us, Lord God. Those who don't know your word, those who don't know your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you would work in us to share that with them, Lord God, as we go. Lord, we just thank you so much for what you give us, Lord God. We praise you and worship you. Keep us safe as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get your kids. Go drink black coffee.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, BC Live Team. Thank you.